Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dermot Whelan in for Oliver Callan. They've now put the wonderful team here have put the text number on an idiot board for me here, because I've read out a lot of text numbers over the years, so it's hard to get my head around a new one. 51551 if you want to get in touch. Hot tubs, steam rooms and saunas. Carl Spain is touring the country with his stand-up, the one show, and likely to be spotted at a spa near you soon, apparently. Hello, Carl Spain.
Hello, Oliver. I mean, Dermot.
Yeah, you were wondering, was it me or Oliver doing a very good impression?
Well, I didn't think it was great.
I don't sound like myself.
Dermot doesn't go golfing in Spain with the lads.
We were talking about steam rooms and saunas. You're a fan?
I love them. Yeah. 2 years ago, I was in Austria and went. I had to go in to get a shower after a massage, and then I just stayed, and it was like this. I came home feeling so healthy and good, and I've maintained it ever since. So I'll go a few times a week.
And would you go in your gym? Do you have one in the
gym?
Gaff?
It's in the gym. Okay. No, not in the gaff yet. You know, the piping. Mm. We had a few before. I prefer the steam room, actually. I like the steam room. I had an incident in Berlin last summer where I went in. I was in a hotel for one of the hotels, and I saw they had the whole spa area. I went, oh, I'll go down. I says, it's in the hotel. I probably can wear my shorts. I went down and walked in and said, oh, well, the shorts have to go. So the sauna was busy, so I went into the steam room on my own, and then a woman came in, and after a while I left, and she came out and started following me, and then she goes, you have my towel. So in the middle of the whole area, I had to hand her back her towel and walk back, forget my, no one even blinked. That was the worst part. If someone even looked slightly, went, oh, what happened there? But no.
Yeah.
You have my towel, the words that'll still haunt me.
I know. I did the same. I did the same recently in Austria. I walked away with some lad's robe and so left him standing there in the nip. Yeah. Desperately.
What it happens I was at the comedy festival in Austria, and they have the room keys in the robe if you're staying in the hotel.
That's right.
So they go, my key won't work, and then they go, oh no. International incidents. I didn't see you at the Pope's funeral, Dermot.
I didn't get the nod. No, Michael D got the front row, but I didn't get the nod.
Apparently he'd no kids, so we don't know who gets the Vatican.
Were you watching any of it over the weekend?
I did watch a bit of it, yeah. It was that thing, they weren't showing the VIP area because they'd probably be chatting or not paying attention. So
I thought as former altar boys we might have got the nod.
I wasn't an altar boy.
No?
I was asked and never went in the end.
Because most stand-ups are at some point. Because when you're a kid and you have that desire to get up on a stage, it's usually the only stage in town.
The shyness, too much shyness to overcome. Even been beside the altar. My mother used to do the readings at Mass.
Oh yeah.
So there was show business in the family.
So are you traveling around the country at the moment? How is the tour going?
It's going good. Yeah. I was in Cork at the weekend and in Dundalk. It's always nice to put places that are close together on the tour schedule.
Yeah, nice one.
No, it's great fun. It's great fun. And I sometimes tell my sauna adventures on the stage, but it's not part of the show. Really.
How do you feel about talking in the sauna? Are you one of those chatty people?
If someone talks to me, I won't start the chat. Yeah, and certainly phones. I think it would damage the phone if you brought it in.
I know, but that's where we are these days. I know. Afraid of putting the thing down. We'd risk breaking it.
I know,
bring it in there.
Avoiding scores.
One of the reasons I got into meditation is to deal with the stress of the people who can't shut the door of the steam room properly. you know the people who just open the door and then they take that few moments to look around and they're like, well, just shut the bloody door. The heat's getting out.
They're chatting to someone outside. Are you coming in here? What do you do? Yeah. Are you coming to call? Can you have this conversation outside?
Yeah. You write a lot for other comedians these days.
I have done in the past, yes. I still do. Yeah.
Is that different, the process of writing for somebody else? Do you hear them in your head?
Yeah, I'll come up with a joke and go, that's not going to, that works for a female comic or that works for a gay comic or something else. The weirdest moment I ever had was a joke I wrote that I really liked and I wish I hadn't said out loud to the person I was working with. the first time I saw them do it on stage, got a round of applause. And a guy, I was standing at the back watching, a guy comes back, hits me a little too hard on the arm and goes, "You couldn't write an effing joke like that." And I was like, "What is the universe doing to me?" And I was like, I could write one like it. I was like, the irony was not lost to me. But yeah,
is that good
thing.
Though? Do you get a nice sense, even though someone else is using your joke and getting the round of applause or the standing ovation?
I get the kick from the laugh. Yeah. I've done it for fundraisers for people where you'll take people who aren't comedians and write with them. So you kind of get their story.
Mm.
And my favourite one of those was a priest who... I said, "What's your funny story?" And he goes, "Oh, well, my dog went missing." But everyone, when the news got out, everyone thought I had gone missing. And the bit I said to him, "Say that." And he goes, "I can't say that. It's trust me." And he went on, he was on stage and I heard my housekeeper on the phone going, "Well, the last time I saw him, he was running around the garden. He just had his collar on him." And again, the room erupted. And he looked at me and thumbs up as in, you know, because it was such a surprise.
Yeah,
and it's not, you know, there's no way offensive. It was just a misunderstanding. But things like that where if someone has a body of text or an idea, you can see the jokes to put into it and work around it.
Yeah, because I know you've written for TV as well over the years. And I used to write for the Republic of Telly before I started presenting it. And if you got your joke used... It was a great buzz, you know.
Yeah.
You'd hear Neil Delamere saying, and you're like, "Oh, I wrote that. He left out the other 15 I wrote, but yeah. I wrote that."
No, I wrote for the news report, which Bernard for a bit. And everyone then afterwards, you know, the Viper, Ed Salmon, and then it was me. It just went, Al Porter. Then we can't find anyone. Will you just do it? But yeah, it's nice. No, I enjoy getting the laugh. Yeah, I go, "That's my laugh." And it's a different kind of buzz. But
laughter doesn't always get you the girl, Carl. Or does it? Because people may remember your show, Carl Spain Wants a Woman, a few years back.
20.
Yeah, I can't believe it's
20
that long
years
ago.
But
that is actually how you met the lovely Rachel.
Yeah, she applied to be on the show. She also won a bike on television and... she doesn't get up on either anymore. That's a terrible joke. we met on that. And that was actually when I started doing comedy, I thought, this is it now. Girls are going to be, you know, that's the one thing, if you make them laugh.
Yeah.
And I think it was my second gig. This beautiful girl came up to me and she was saying how much she loved me. She was so funny. And I was like brand new. I, you know, didn't think I was that good. I actually probably wasn't. And she was looking away and I was just looking at her going, "Oh my God, look at her." And she goes, "Oh, my boyfriend loves you as well." And he'd obviously seen me looking at her and I don't think he likes me anymore. It never really worked. You know, I could chat to a girl from the stage.
Mm.
But then when I came off, it was difficult.
But do you think a lot of comedians in general can be shy, nervous types, which is kind of a juxtaposition, isn't
it? Yeah, you'll read it from... There's that thing from lead singers of bands, the amount of them, like it's trying to impress their mother, like that have lost a parent or lost a mother, like Bono lost a mother, but loads of lead singers have lost parents along the way. I remember hearing Jimmy Carr in an interview talking about any comedian is just trying to amuse their mother. He had it with his, and I was literally listening to him. I was going, "Oh, that was me." My mum had been sick for a number of years and I'd be looking after her. And instead of dealing with her and going, "What can I help you?" I would become a character. I was Father Michael, who I was giving her gossip from the confession that I'd heard, making stuff up, like. And I was a doctor saying, "Oh no, God, if she was a horse now, we'd shoot her." I was doing all this, but she'd start laughing. And that was, you know, making me feel better that she's feeling a bit better.
Yeah, so it's almost as if like there's a people-pleasing...
Totally that thing.
Reason
of,
behind it, that you feel responsible maybe. Because I think about this all the time and you think, why the hell do I put myself through it? You know, and I think there's often times, as you've touched on there, but there's a people-pleasing tendency. You feel responsible for how other people feel and you feel
it
like
that.
It's up to you to make a positive change.
Yeah, but I even, like at a gig... I don't mind a heckler myself. If someone's heckling, if it's a good or funny heckle, you know, I think it's good. But people who won't shut up and they're ruining the gig, not just for the comedian, but for everyone around, that really annoys me, especially when I'm not on stage. When I'm on stage, I can deal with it.
Mm.
But when I'm off stage, I'm going, "You're like, this person's trying to make you laugh. you know, trying to make a room of people laugh, and you're stopping it. That probably upsets me more than it should.
Yeah.
And it probably upsets other people.
Are you the type of person who, if you go to a party and the party's a bit flat, that you feel responsible to kind of get it going?
I would have been before I did comedy.
Mm.
I would have been... No one leaves that party not knowing I was there.
I think, here I go.
Not quite that. But I know I would have been not quite the life and soul, but yeah, I would have been, here's an audience. Let's entertain. But once you have that facility where you can go on stage and be funny and people will listen to you, I think you don't. I'd suddenly that just disappeared out of my life.
Yeah,
I could sit with people and be normal.
Yeah.
And then if I was funny, so like five or six were sitting around, if I said something funny, oh, you're trying out material. And going, so it actually backfired in a way. So you wouldn't try and be funny in that.
How many times have you proposed to Rachel?
She hates this. I haven't officially proposed, but I'd say five times. But it's
how do you unofficially propose?
No, we'd just say we should get married. She'd go, oh, you should go away and organize it. So
yeah, but hang on a sec. We should get married.
Yeah,
I mean, is the laziest. Where were you? Like down the frozen meat section of the supermarket when you said it. Like,
yeah, I've told you that story.
Looking at the sausages. Did you ever do the proper proposal?
I haven't done the proper. No, that
no
would
wonder
be,
she keeps saying
that just, would be tough.
Does she say no or kind of fob you off?
We've kind of gone too much into my private life. I'm breaking down here, Oliver replacement. We kind of, like how she would put it, we both roomed each other for anyone else, so we're stuck with each other now. So, you know, at some point we'll probably make it official, but it won't be a big deal, like, you know. I'm nearly out of my 40s.
Yeah, and then some.
Shut up.
So would you not think of maybe if she's not saying yes straight away, that maybe it's the way you have been doing it?
I'll have to negotiate. She's hating this now. She's in a meeting, so when she listens back,
she won't be listening.
This
back.
Is Dermot.
My wife never listens back. Did you hear me? Did you see me? I was on with Dot. No.
when I mentioned that this was discussed, she will. Yeah, yeah. No, it's I can be quite romantic, and but yeah, I haven't done the down on one knee. You know, I haven't the greatest of knees, to be honest.
Well, I saw.
Ow!
I know. Are you a sneaker fan? Are you of someone who collects?
No.
Tackies, as we call
them.
Not
tackies. I wouldn't be. I used to swing the tacky, but wouldn't.
I don't know if you've noticed. There's a trend for sneaker fans. It's quite a well known thing that if you have to get down on one knee, see if someone has a pair, say Jordans on. The last thing you want to do is go down on one knee because it means you crease the toe box of the other of the shoe that you're kneeling on. So you see a lot of pictures of sneakerheads taking their sneakers off
to propose
so they don't crease the toe box.
Wow.
I notice people listening going, what? But yes, this is a thing.
If the woman I was proposing to did not deserve a toe box creasing, then I'm probably marrying the wrong person.
Good point.
There's a sentence that I never thought I'd say.
How many years have you been doing stand-up now?
It was 25 last week.
Do you feel like you're always improving?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I've seen your gigs and I don't think...
Hey, that's so funny, Dermot.
As long as you feel it. No, but do you feel like you
absolutely
you'll never hit where you go, that's it, I've done it.
You never do that. Even like you still have bad gigs, but I would.
Aisling B's mother see you?
Yeah, we all have bad gigs, and I do think you're fairly bulletproof without. But the one, it was a charity gig a few years ago, and I knew for a couple of hours I'm going to die here because the sound, it was a massive function room, it was a big event and there was musicians on, well-known musicians, and no one's listening to them. And I went, comedy's not going to work here. Did the gig.
What's that feeling like for people who haven't done comedy? If you're there looking, going, oh my God, as you say, I'm going to die here. Yeah. What's that like?
It's rough. And it's just that thing of, and you're doing it, you know, it's not like if it was a corporate and you go, I'm getting well paid, or that'll ease some of the pain. This is, I'm doing this. And I'm like, this is almost offensive to the charity. You know, you feel like,
I'm
you know,
charity. Now.
Yeah, you've been blamed for it. But like, there was some famous people in the audience and nothing. I couldn't get them to listen. The sound wasn't great. At one point, I did go, there's a car on fire in the car park, and the whole room went quiet. And I went, so you can't hear me? But I got a huge laugh, but didn't get the audience. But months later, I was walking into the Electric Picnic, and I meet this lovely woman, the aforementioned Aisling B's mother. And she goes, Carol Spain. And I went, hello. I says, I saw you earlier this year. And she told me she was Aisling's mother. And I went, oh, and I'm expecting a compliment because...
Aisling B, of course, well-known comedy
face. Yeah, well-known comedy TV. And I was thinking, this is a compliment. I've had a good year. Most of my, you know, I blocked it out of my mind. At Limerick Racecourse. And I went, oh no. And she goes, I really felt for you that day. And I went backstage then and met Aisling and said, oh, I just met your mother. She's lovely. And she went, oh, she didn't tell you, did she? And I went, what? Aisling's mother rang her and said, please stop doing stand-up after what I've witnessed Carol Spain having to go through.
Wow, it was so bad.
I made her.
She
now, Aisling would
put
have
her daughter off the entire career.
Please, go back to the acting. This is not this is not what you should do. But I think because I've continuously done it, I mean, I've done other bits of act, bits of other things, you know, writing, whatever, to distract a bit from the stand-up. But because I've continuously done it for the 25, you just get better and better. You know, when you keep doing it, I think there's some people will stop for years, or, you know, even Simon Pegg was on The Late Late Show. He stopped. He hasn't done stand up for 25 years. And I was going, that is like he's stopped as long as I am going, which is mad. You know, I wonder what it would be like.
Yeah,
for
I
him.
Wasn't even aware he was a stand up.
Oh, he
in
was. Yeah,
previous
yeah.
He life.
Been, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
And I guess when you're getting big acting paychecks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it's hard to go back to the old workman's club up in Newcastle or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. How are you getting on in the stand? Are you in the stand in Glasgow? No, no, I'm doing Mission Impossible 7.
Yeah.
Well, Glasgow can be like that sometimes.
I remember doing a gig in the Hyena in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
place?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
And I was being booed before I even got to the microphone. on the walk out, I was being booed.
I've been heckled as I reached for the microphone. I was screamed at in Manchester, get off your effing.
Yeah, I know. It's all uphill from there.
I was more taken. I'm going, God, at least give me a chance to prove you're right.
Well, get your heckles ready because Carl is on the road. It's touring the country. Purple Room, Drogheda, Louth, Friday, 2nd of May. Bark Lane, Waterford, Friday, 16th of May. Town Hall Theatre in Westport, Mayo, and all over the country. What is your website that people can go?
CarlSpain.ie and CarlSpain Comedian on Instagram.
Okay.
And I have a film-y podcast as well. I would do a comedy and film podcast, which is just three lads chatting about films that gets distracted from films.
You know where to find him. Carl Spain, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Oliver. Thank you.
51551 to get in touch. Coming up, art teacher on art in prisons and working in prisons, Mr. Daniel Sexton on the way.